Strange Times in New Boston, episode number 3, The Free State Project. Welcome to Strange Times in New Boston, and welcome to the third episode of this podcast. I am Glenn Dickey and will be your host and guide as we explore these strange times we have found ourselves in. In this episode, I'm going to cover the Free State Project. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, please send them to me at Strange Times in New Boston, all one word, at hushmail.com. Since this episode is going to cover the inhuman and unspeakable rights of the Free State Project, a word of warning is required. This episode is not safe for listening to anywhere or by anyone. Once you know the secrets revealed in this episode, you will be forever marked as a target of the cult. In other words, you're probably doomed. This is your last chance. Stop! Okay, just don't say you weren't warned. In this episode, I am going to reveal the alien, unspeakable rights and secrets of the Free State Project. These terrible secrets have never before been uttered in any public forum by any secret high initiate of the cult before now. Prepare yourself to hear tales of terrible, inhuman acts of lust, depravity, and horror. I only hope that I will be able to reveal these awful secrets of this hideous and nightmarish cult before their secret assassins descend on me. It all starts in the secret underground lair behind the Temple of the Spider in Manchester, where the current Free State Project and High Priest summons the Shining Trapezohedron, and then with the consent of 2/3 of the Secret Masters of Liberty, he or she agrees to initiate a member into the cult, but only if ratified by 4/5 of the full membership at the next meeting when, after a sacrifice of a... It's them! Run, try to save yourselves, it's too late for me! Okay, where was I? So the reality is a little different, but that was fun, wasn't it? Pretending that the Free State Project was some kind of a weird cult. Oh, yeah, with all kinds of secret rituals and bizarre rules. Run while you can. Don't let them get you. They're everywhere. That's better. Where was I? Oh yes, the Free State Project. For anyone who might not have heard, the Free State Project, or FSP as it is commonly called, is an organization with the goal of moving 20,000 liberty-loving people to New Hampshire to preserve and extend liberty. I am so sorry to disappoint you all, but there aren't any secret masters or secret orders or really anything like an organized conspiracy at all. At times, I think it would be neat if the Free State Project was some kind of a powerful secret club that I got sucked into. I've always wanted to be in a cult, but I just quite never made it to that level of crazy. It isn't like I'm entirely level-headed or that I haven't tried, but somehow my attachment to reality has always prevented me from attaining a real fanatical level of zeal. The Free State Project was originally thought up by a guy named Jason Sorens, now Dr. Sorens, while he was a graduate student at Princeton. He's got Illuminati written all over him. The basic idea goes like this. Get a bunch of people that like freedom, then move the people to a place with more freedom. That's pretty normal, right? But here comes the really clever bit. Once the people are in the place with the more freedom, the people try to keep the freedom. Now see, isn't that clever? There's a reason this guy was going to Princeton, right? Move to where the freedom is, then keep the freedom. It's brilliant and it's simple. So people got together online, had a vote, and picked New Hampshire as the place with the freedom. Theoretically, nobody was supposed to move until 20,000 people signed up, but some of us just couldn't wait to get to that sweet, sweet freedom. To join the Free State Project, there is a statement of intent that says that you devote yourself, body and soul, to the cult and will do everything in your power to aid it by enslaving the good people of New Hampshire. Hail Satan. Oh, wait. No, that's the other thing. The Free State Project statement of intent goes like this. I hereby state my solemn intent to move to the state of New Hampshire within 5 years after 20,000 participants have signed up. Once there, I will exert the fullest practical effort toward the creation of a society in which the maximum role of civil government is the protection of individual life, liberty, and property. Nothing too controversial there. You say you are planning to move, and that you not only like freedom, but will work to keep it. That's the clever part, remember? Keeping the freedom. In reality, you don't have to do anything. No one, to the best of my knowledge, has ever got unparticipated from the Free State Project for inaction after moving to New Hampshire. The statement of intent is broad enough to accommodate a wide range of behaviors. Once here, it is up to you what you do next. Even for a group that is happy to admit extraterrestrials and extra-dimensional beings, there is stuff that will get you thrown out, though. One thing that will get you bounced is racist stuff. The Free State Project secret extra-dimensional overlords have gone out of their way to keep this element out of our massive hidden conspiracy. Beyond that, I would say that racism is not a commonly shared cultural value among the participants. That's just not who these people are. A lot of participants come to New Hampshire from urban cosmopolitan settings, but the ethnic diversity wasn't the reason most of us left. Free Staters come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and that's the way we like it. Freedom is for everyone. There are no code words here. When we say everyone, we mean everyone. The other thing that will get you told to get lost is violence. The Free State Project is not the violent revolution. If you are looking for the violent revolution, you need to talk to somebody else. People aren't moving to their New Hampshire with their families to go to war. Beyond that, I don't think most of the participants think that our goal to keep the freedom can be enabled through force. We recognize that you can't bomb your way to liberty. People have to want to keep it, and that involves communicating and persuading them. In terms of absolute numbers, I think there are about 2,000 or 3,000 Free State Project participants in New Hampshire now. To be completely accurate, we would need an accounting for all the undead participants under the Temple of the Spider in Manchester, but leaving that aside. Once you're in New Hampshire as a Free State Project participant, you get a minimal social network of other people that are likely to be just as weird and as insane as everyone back at home thought you were. For a lot of people, this is a completely novel experience. New Hampshire natives, for the most part, haven't heard of the Free State Project, and if they have heard about it, they don't much care unless they're politicos. See, the natives have real lives, unlike all you pathetic refugees from big government hellholes. New Hampshire society is still a lot less politically polarized than other places. Traditionally, New Hampshire has been big into civility, even between rival political camps, but this tradition is rapidly eroding. Additionally, a lot of the population of New Hampshire is already from someplace else, so not being from here might not present as much of a hurdle as it would someplace where that isn't true. The Free State Project holds two large ritual sacrifices, gatherings, yeah, each year in New Hampshire, the Porcupine Freedom Fest, or Pork Fest in the summer, and Liberty Forum in the winter. For Pork Fest, the Free State Project rents out Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire, and fills it up with a bunch of self-selected Liberty refugees. Pork Fest is a three-way cross between an armed concert, a political rally, and a summer camp. I should mention that all of the people who listen to my inane ramblings before all you fine people do say I am not really capturing the spirit of Porkfest. They insist that it is way better than that tired old concert in the late 60s with the bad sound. Maybe they have a point. Porkfest is a lot of fun. You can talk high-minded philosophy. You can learn about beekeeping. You can literally forge something. You can meet someone new, take them to the gun range, then get your freak on to the lush dance tunes before settling down to fall in love by the light of the nightly campfire. Plus, if you are under 12, you can engage in probably the largest humans versus zombie game in New Hampshire, or just fight with the boffers. Liberty Forum is in winter, and it's usually at one of the larger hotels in Manchester or Nashua. Liberty Forum has the feel of a relaxed conference atmosphere. Both events do offer secret initiation rituals nightly. Now, in my experience, there is one particular thing about the Free State Project participants that is pretty weird. I mean, apart from the human sacrifices and cannibalism, of course. The weird thing is the participants may not have anything in common with each other culturally or even ideologically, except for a desire to enjoy the expression of their individual liberty peacefully. Culturally, the Free State Project's gatherings are an amazing success story of how radically different uber-independent individuals, many of whom are armed, can get together and coexist so peacefully. If you like people watching and need your faith in humanity restored, consider coming early to Porkfest sometime and watch people set up camp. There is a certain weird joy in watching the different kinds of individuals set up their camps. The aging, tatted-up, heavily armed biker types roll in first and set up their site. Next pulls in an evangelical Christian family who look like they just walked straight out of a children's Bible. I am not making this up. They start to set up their camp, and the bikers help out. Later on, up roll some folks tatted up in equal terms to the bikers, who are of indeterminate sex and might be trying to add letters to LGBTQ. The evangelical types cook dinner and have too much and offer it to their new friends. The montage is strange, but very American. Rainbow flags next to "Don't Tread on Me" cynicism with a little of "Jesus Saves" thrown in. People share food and refreshment, and for 3 days, it is probably more like Woodstock than Woodstock ever was. Seeing such radically different, capital I, individuals interacting peacefully, it can change you. You see stuff like that, and you start thinking, hey, maybe it can all work out. Maybe the American dream isn't quite so dead. For a few brief days, folks let their kids run around the admittedly heavily armed campground, and everyone that needs to get found has been found so far. For how many years has this been going on? I was a kid in the 1970s, and from my point of view, for a few brief days, I can treat my kid to a taste of the age that I grew up in. Porkfest and the Free State Project as a whole is a crazy patchwork of people with possibly nothing in common, held together by the simple desire, to be free, and the willingness to let others be free in return. There is no point in trying to speak for every participant, but I would like to make some observations from my experience as a participant in the Free State Project. People have no real idea what it takes to come to the conclusion that the place you are living and quite possibly grew up in has gotten it so bad that it is time to move on. The physical act of relocating, that's pretty easy. That's just a matter of logistics and finances. But beyond that, there is the whole mental aspect. In my case, I was a successful software professional living in a Southern California beach community. I had a life that other people might have envied and the weather that many people openly do envy. But all that good life and warm weather, it just wasn't enough. The people in California just aren't free in ways that we are free living in New Hampshire. I left a lot of good friends and good people behind, but I would rather live here in the snows of New Hampshire with more freedom than in the California sunshine with far less. Think about it. How many bad experiences would you have to accumulate before you started to think, you know, this beach community just isn't good enough. It's time to move to New Hampshire. By far, the hardest part of the process was talking yourself out of the proposition that where you were wasn't where you should be, and that there was a better life out there. As far as I'm concerned, after more than a decade of living in New Hampshire, I think I made the right choice. The last 10 years plus of my life have been some of the best years of my life. Which leads me into my next observation. The New Hampshire natives are great people. They just don't realize how special they are. While I was driving across country, I had a lot of time to think. And one thought that came to my mind was, how is it that the people of New Hampshire have retained so much of their freedom and the people of California had not? Why am I driving to New Hampshire instead of someone from New Hampshire driving to California? And if you recognize that as a reformulation of Yali's question from the book Guns, Germs, and Steel, give yourself a gold star, because my question was inspired by Yali's. After 10 years, I still think about my question. I think most of the answer is the people themselves. New Hampshire natives have and do simply love liberty more. People here care about being free in a way that people back home and other places just don't. And the wonderful natives are willing to cut their fellow citizens some slack when they decide to exercise their freedom. If memory serves, it was while driving through the rain somewhere in Pennsylvania during my original cross-country trip that I resolved to try and learn from the people of New Hampshire how it is they conduct their affairs, and how they have managed to remain so free, whereas my former state of California, despite having such favorable geographic conditions and almost an embarrassment of riches, had not. Now, after living here for more than 10 years, I only half-jokingly tell people that I have been from New Hampshire my entire life, but I wish they had sent out a search party to find me. It's only half-jokingly because that's how it feels to me. Did you ever like something so much you were unsure as to whether to tell everyone or to tell no one as to keep it to yourself? However it was that I came to be in New Hampshire, that is how I feel. On the negative side, perhaps the most annoying aspect of being a Free State Project participant, apart from the need to sacrifice in the dark of the moon, that is that the participants that typically get the bulk of the press are the far ends of the spectrum, and not the median. Often it is the people who have brought the styles, grievances, and solutions from where they came from with them, and then attempt to apply those behaviors to New Hampshire without consideration, they have trouble. Not to recognize that New Hampshire has its own history, made its own compromises, and found some of its own solutions, and has its own reasons for things being the way they are, is folly. To act toward people here as you would the people from wherever it was you came from, is like bringing a tennis racket to a football game. Participants need to understand that this isn't where you came from. The sons and daughters of the people who settled these hills and worked in these mills have been running their own affairs successfully for nigh on 400 years, and they don't need some city slicker from a one-party big government hellhole telling them how they are doing it all wrong. Free State Project participants are coming to New Hampshire and not the other way around. And because of that, I think it is reasonable to do so with a certain degree of humility. If there is one thing the people of New Hampshire don't like, it's bossy folks from out of state acting weird, being rude, and violating community standards. That being said, New Hampshire welcomes those who want to roll up their sleeves, get dirty, get involved, and help, whether in government or society. Possibly the best thing that I have experienced from being involved in politics in New Hampshire has been that there is an existing liberty-oriented streak a mile wide in the New Hampshire Republican Party. When I was in the legislature, I voted as part of an informal voting bloc of about 70 votes, the vast majority of whom were Granite State natives. These representatives had similar political sentiments to my own, yet only 15 were Free State Project participants. New Hampshire has a long-standing tradition of respect for individualism and liberty that considerably predates the Free State Project, and in which I, and immigrants like me, can take part. I might add that if there is anyone flying under the radar in Hillsborough District 5, as the last Democratic mailer asserted, it isn't Keith Ammon or myself. If there is a secret power to being in the Free State Project, it has to be the effect participants have on the Democratic Party and the left in general. FSP participants are the boogeyman in spades. To hear the left tell it, the FSP is straight up stone cold evil. To be fair now, the left thinks everyone who isn't one of them is stone cold evil, but anyone who is part of the liberty movement is extra special, double secret, stone cold evil with a capital E just to be extra scary. Now personally, I have always thought that being stone-cold evil would feel different, you know? It would feel more edgy and chaotic. Instead, it feels exactly like not being stone-cold evil. I feel kind of ripped off. If I am going to be cast in the role of the villain, I should at least get some kind of emotional boost, but nope. Instead, nothing. I digress. Probably the reason the FSP provokes such hostility is that we provide a direct contrast that the modern left will not endure. The contrast of individualism and collectivism. A lot of the liberty movement's ideology could be boiled down to the belief that strong individuals are good when they restrain themselves. If you contrast that with the left's message of victimhood, trauma, and weakness, it isn't hard to see why the left might not like us so much. The left tells people to look at how they are victims and sums them up by membership in groups they cannot change. The liberty movement tells people to look at how they are strong and that they are individuals. The left wants you to look forward to a utopian dream that never quite arrives. The Liberty Movement doesn't have to put forward the dream of utopia because we have good old-fashioned American better. America isn't perfect, and it isn't ever going to be, but it gets better, and that is something. Historically speaking, the left is still trying to prove that it can create stable, long-term societies. The Liberty Movement can point to the founding of this country, with whose founders we share so many of our ideals. Maybe if the Free State Project had occurred 20 years earlier, we might have seen more of a perceived common ground with the part of the left concerned with civil and individual rights. Perhaps it is not widely known, but the first Free State Project participant elected to the state legislature was in fact a Democrat. As it stands now, and speaking as someone who was in the state legislature, they still really, really hate us. In fact, any teenager listening with an eye to shocking their lefty parents would be wise to consider attending Porkfest. Better yet, try telling your commie parents that you are now a minarchist and that taxation is theft. I wish I could offer some insight into what participants do as activism once they move, but I fear any characterization would be completely inaccurate. Some people get involved in politics, but a lot of people do non-political activism. There are a lot of ways people feel called to keep the freedom part of the statement of intent. And building society and culture are important, as is politics. Okay, if anyone has any questions about the Free State Project, my involvement in it, or wants to know where the secret temple of the Spider God really is, please write me at strangetimesinnewboston, all one word, at hushmail.com. If there's enough interest, maybe I'll do a follow-up episode. I would like to extend a very special thanks to Jay Yu, who created the elevator music used in this episode. Thanks, Jay. A link to his page is in the notes. Regarding upcoming episodes, I am going to throw caution to the wind and change the schedule radically in order to get something out on the town and school before the vote in March. After that, we have an episode on the 800-pound gorilla, aka our President Donald J. Trump, an episode on why I like Christians, and after that, it will be time to look back on those crazy leftist authoritarians we have all got working for us in Concord. Live free or die,